Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Napa Know How.
This month, Napa's got all kinds of motor oil deals that can save you some serious cash. Like a 5-quart jug of Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $16.49. With savings like that, you may start feeling like a VIP. But don't let it go to your head. These oil deals are for everyone. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices not include applicable state local taxes or recycling fees. Offer ends 8/31/20.
It's that little Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, better said Mr. Worldwide. You already know what it is. Listen to my new podcast, From Negative to Positive. Subscribe today. Now, part of the things that we're doing over here at Negative to Positive is encouraging people to change their lives, change the things that are within their power. I want to thank our good friends at KFC for helping me bring this to you. Feed your whole crew with KFC Let's Go. I can get the KFC bucket of chicken, and you know, that's fire! Now, Babo, you know that you can get that mac and cheese, that mashed potato, gravy, those biscuits. Now, that's trouble right there. That is fire right there. You know, on Negative to Positive, we always talking about striving and achievement, and the Colonel Sanders story is a story that inspired me since I was 10 years old. Look how our life comes full circle. Now I'm talking about Colonel Sanders and Kentucky Fried Chicken and how much I love it. Listen to my new podcast, From Negative to Positive. Check out the vodcast. Subscribe today. Apple Podcast. Podcast One. Spotify.
GrownWrestlingSheet.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the final edition. Yes, the final edition of Wrestling Sheet Radio. Cheers to that. I am your host, ProWrestlingSheet.com, editor-in-chief.
I'm glad Kevin had a banana. I'm sorry.
I'll give you a moment for that later, Kevin. Don't. We'll give you your time to shine. Editor-in-chief, Ryan Satin, here with my co-host, Elijah Bates.
Well, are you going to be editor-in-chief still, or is that the last time you're going to call yourself that for a little bit?
We'll get to that at the end of the show.
All right.
and also Kevin Silva. Wait, I'm sorry, not Kevin Silva. Jamie Iovine.
How you doing?
And lastly, drum roll, please. Can you guys give me one?
Oh, wow.
I don't feel like editing one. Hit your desk. It'll probably be better if you hit your desk while you do it. Do one of these guys. Can you hear that at all? Okay, fine. Pedro, drum roll, please.
You even found Pedro. Where's he been?
I found him. He came out of retirement. Pedro, drum roll,
we'll
please.
Need jobs right now. So
the droll model. I just remember why strong. I stopped doing these. Hugmaster, big ploppa dunk.
Papa Dump is pretty great.
The Jello God, Le Champion, Fungal Boy, Freshly Tweezed, Jerry the King Lawler's number one fan in the entire world. The man of 1,001 nicknames. We finally got through all 1,001
all
nicknames.
All them. It's crazy.
The 5 years
Kevin
that we did
was
this
so
show.
Mad. He was like, we're never going to get through all of them, are we?
No, we did it.
It's never going to happen.
We did it, guys. Can you believe that we did 1,001 nicknames for Kevin Silva?
I don't think Jericho got to list it. You didn't say my name either, man.
Kevin Silva! Even,
there you go.
I don't even think Jericho got to the bottom of his holds list. So the fact that we were able to get
that's
through
crazy
it is incredible.
I mean, 5 years ago, it's weird that that Freshly Tweezed was on the list when we started this 5 years ago. That's mind-blowing. We didn't even know about Orange Cassidy.
We're ahead of our time, Kevin. People should have been listening from episode one. They were really missing out on this thing.
I will say, though, that I liked Hugboat more than I liked Hugmaster.
Oh, Hugboat. That's what you told me. I wrote it wrong.
Hugboat was way better.
Damn it.
Yeah, Hugboat. And where are all the retribution names?
Like,
come on.
You said Hugmaster, I was like, what's that supposed to be?
I meant Hugboat. God damn it. God, I knew I should have said this
list.
Oh, that would have been good.
Snack bar, Flappy Jacks.
Yeah.
Oh,
Mace
Flap
with
Jack
a dollar sign.
So good.
Well, this can be the start of you writing your own nicknames, Kevin.
Yeah.
These are some
now,
of the other ones.
Another 1,001 by myself.
That's how you should introduce yourself when you walk into rooms. You're just like
Kevin Silva, Mister. I'm still here himself.
Go listen go listen to 5 years of Wrestling Sheet Radio to hear the rest of them. No, he had a bunch. Eli sent me a bunch. The Legend Chiller, Grande Master Sexy. That wasn't good.
How have we not made some sort of variation on El Gigante or Jai Gonzalez? Like that's it feels like that's a layup somehow.
That does seem like that's a layup. That does. I was going to go with Underhang Man, but I didn't know if that was funny. Yeah, that was...
Sounds like a move that you do to somebody, like, sexually. Underhang
you know
Man.
What's funny is I today I listened to the first episode of the show. I was like, I wonder
that sucks, because I wasn't on it.
And, you know, I went back and I listened to the first episode of the show, and I was like, I wonder what our first nicknames for Kevin were. And... I'd forgot that was something that like wasn't introduced until a little bit in, like a few. We did it a few episodes.
Was it several episodes in? I thought it was like right off the bat.
No, because I went back and I forgot that the first thing that we did was we tried to give you a thing, Eli, and it was you were the bastard stepson of Mike Tenay in the
first
episode.
Right.
Tenay.
and then you thought it'd be funny if that wasn't your nickname, but instead we changed your relation to Mike Tenay every episode. So it was like the bastard step.
Oh, that's
you know,
right.
It was like these
and
weird,
like a bunch of people. It was like,
yeah,
I think
we
I just, like.
No. Maybe we switched it up. We like we tried, and then I remember like really quickly we realized like we're gonna run out of like family relation that
only
we can
so
use
many
here.
Family relation words that there are like there's only like six.
There's like cousin. There's like aunt. There's like uncle. But like really like you get through it real fast. And instead we were like, well, what if instead we switch it? And because I remember early on in the show, I when we first started it, like really not in the first episode, but in this process where I was figuring out what we were going to do, I remember I thought it would be better because Eli, you know, was helping me with a lot of the writing of the site where I would, you know, when I first launched the site, I would send Eli everything before I published it to make sure, like, because I didn't have a copy editor. Like, you know, a lot of people don't know this. But, like, I mean, Eli was my copywriter for a long time on the site. I mean, to be honest, I still use him when I need the help. But, like, going from a staff of, like, 50 people helping you with news stories at TMZ to, like, nobody was a total shock. And Eli really made himself available every single day for these past 5 years to read stuff and make sure it sounded well and help me grow as a writer. You know, he really, really helped me out a lot in terms of my writing and with the site and stuff. But, you know, early on, I thought, well, maybe I'll give them a, I'll give Eli like a title. So since nobody knows who he is, you know, in wrestling, he's not like a thing in wrestling, you know, well, I'll make him like a, I gave him some kind of fancy title. I forgot what it was.
I can't remember what it was. It was
like, I gave both of you, Kevin and you,
titles.
Yeah, I gave you both titles to try and make you sound more legit, like you actually like did something on the site. Also, mainly to make it seem like I wasn't working alone, even though I was.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, it just sounded better if I like had like, you know, like,
well, this like sad guy is just writing about wrestling by himself.
Sad guy.
He's not doing that for 40 years.
Sad guy with dude number one and dude number two.
That, I mean, that really, like, I was, I just thought, like, oh, perception-wise, it'll look like these people work with me, and, you know, like, it'll give them, like, a thing, it'll make them sound cooler. But then with Kevin, like, I think I felt bad because I remember that Eli was doing so much more and, like, actually writing, like, helping with the writing. And Kevin did help me a lot in the writing, too, because I would send stuff to Kevin, too. But also Kevin would be like, no, that's not good, or, like, yes, that's good. And, like, Eli would go real detailed and intricate with me, you know? And
yeah.
So I was like, okay.
I'm here today to talk to you about your use of semicolons, Ryan.
Do you believe in the Oxford comma or no, Ryan?
Too many dot, dot, dots.
I'm a big fan of the ellipses. I'm a big fan of the ellipses. I get it. It gets... Sometimes I look at things I write, I'm like, come on, guy.
Yeah, so, you know, I that's when the nicknames came about, was after all that, when I was like, oh, we'll do these funny nicknames, and then we started doing the nicknames. But, yeah, you know,
Do you remember where we had three different mics, and you had to do three different tracks and match them up together? Like, dude, a fucking moron?
Like, I remember when I wanted to bring Jamie aboard, the issue was we didn't have four microphones.
we had to sit there and we had to press the button sometimes too, like when we wanted to say something. Honestly, I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, you know, the way we were sitting, we were all spaced far apart. Like, we could have done the show like that right now in the midst of the pandemic, and we still would have been safe. We were so spaced apart.
Oh, I don't want to edit that show for 5 hours again like I used to. When I was listening to it today, I was thinking to myself, it's amazing that I figured out how to edit these shows, because it sounded real crisp and we were sitting in the same room. Yeah, it sounded real crisp and we were in the same room pretty much, and we weren't overlapping each other. And I was like, man, I can't believe
we did have a hands up thing. We did have a hands up thing for a little bit. So we were like, raise our hand and be like, I'm going to talk next. Is that good?
I do remember that. Yeah, for a while we were doing in my living room, and I remember, you know, when Jamie came aboard, you know, like, well, when Kevin couldn't do the show, and then we were like, okay, well, we can bring Jamie in, because Jamie and I had been friends on social media. We've been talking on Twitter and stuff, and had, you know, similar interests and stuff. And so we, let's bring Jamie in. And I'll never forget, like, we had Jamie in, and Eli and I, we talk a lot on Facebook Messenger. We're switching over to text now, but for a long time it was Facebook Messenger because we were both in like at work or whatever. And I remember like, I want to say it was like that night, like right when Eli got home, like I remember him writing me and he was just like, dude, we got to have Jamie on the show all the time now. Like, Jamie, it just feels right. Like, it just feels right having Jamie on the show.
He talked outside of your house, I remember, because it was like when you lived in Tarzana or whatever. And I remember parking on that street, and where I was like, oh,
yeah,
let's walk out. And we'd always like
parking on that street,
like a post show chat. Be like, yeah, I really think we're getting good at this.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. I remember that day really well. I remember what I was wearing. I remember what I was doing. I remember we watched the 24 episode on WrestleMania 31 that night. I remember a lot about that night. And then that was where Sting came from.
Yeah.
The Arnold.
Sting!
It's Arnold liking Sting's match.
Yeah, no, I mean, I remember, and then like, and I very vividly remember when that happened, And then Kevin was gone the next week too. I forget why Kevin couldn't be there, but
my immune system has always been terrible, and so I've often been sick quite a lot.
So it was just because you were sick.
He was sick a lot. I remember that. He was sick a lot during then.
Yeah, I remember. And then I remember the next week Kevin couldn't do it. And that's when all the Wally Pip stuff started, when we made all the Wally Pip jokes.
I'll never forget. The craziest thing I'll ever see, and we've never talked about this online, but not because it was a secret, but just because it just never came up. But like, it was so fascinating to me because I had never seen a reporter, journalist, so on and so forth, get to the bottom of a story. And the second or third time we all recorded together was when China passed.
Yeah.
And you found out literally as you were driving to my house. And
I hadn't broken yet either, because nobody knew. Yeah.
We were literally the only people, and like other than the people who found her, who knew that she died. And it was so fascinating to me to see A, how you work, and A, how you get to the bottom of things. And yeah, I mean, it was interesting because I was like, God, if I ever did something and Ryan wanted to find out about it, he probably could.
Like, I love that he sent Kevin to go drive by and be like, hey, we got to double check. You need to drive. I don't know if you had it.
Kevin, if you
could. Oh, I'll never forget that, because that was still not long after I had left TMZ, and like, that was like a thing Harvey used to always do with us when like a story was breaking. If like we were trying to like get to the bottom of something or whatever, Harvey would always be like, oh, go drive there and like see if there's cops there or an ambulance or a coroner or whatever. And so I remember, yeah, like, because we were at your apartment, Jamie, and we were recording, like you said, yeah, it was only like our second time recording together, because I remember, because I didn't have to edit it finally. You had the guy from Meltdown. We were finally doing it with Meltdown. And so he was there to do it so that we could. You solved our issue, because I came to you and I said, I don't have four microphones, but I really want you to join the show. And you were like, well, we've got a podcast studio at Meltdown. Like, we can record it here. And I was like, wait, what? Like, you know? so then we started doing it with you. And so, yeah, like, and then we were doing it outside of the office because the studio was, you know, I forget why, but yeah. And on the drive over, I got that call. I remember I was in your bedroom on the phone getting all the info.
The Watch Commander.
And well, no, it wasn't the Watch Commander yet, but I was getting the info from the source.
Yeah, when you told me, I was like, when you said Watch Commander, I was like the Night's Watch?
What is happening?
He's on a wall with like a telescope?
You know what's funny is the first time I heard that title when I was working in news, like, oh, get in touch with the Watch Commander, I had the same vision in my head of like some guy standing on a tower like with a black cape or something.
Like someone's looking, okay, he's good to come in. And the gates open.
But yeah, like I remember I came out and I just said, like, Kevin, I need you to drive to this address and tell me if you see any like coroners or like ambulances or anything. And dude, Kevin, one of my best friends since high school, like no question, got up and just rushed out the door and drove there for me. I don't think
Kevin, you should have put on scrubs and have been like, I'm an EMT. I got to check on my patient. They wouldn't have said
I will say the hesitation came from me being like, I got parking by Jamie's house. And then I was like,
yeah,
I got to move my car. I will say, also, I really wish that did not fall on 420, because you guys were – I was like, this is a very sobering moment for my three co-hosts right now.
I was just like, this is the most intense thing that could happen, like on 420, and like. But I also was just kind of like, I was just a passenger along for the ride. I was just like, hey, this is crazy. I can't believe this is happening.
It's a horrible situation. It was such a sad story. Yeah. But would you consider that like the biggest kicking off story of your career, Ryan, in terms of this website?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, like,
not your biggest story, but I'm saying that's what started.
Oh yeah, I mean, that was the first time we got picked up by like major international, you know, major publications, like, you know, CNN and you know, all the big ones were. That's the first time we got credited like that for sure, because TMZ credited us. And so yeah, that was definitely one of the first ones. And yeah, like it's sad, obviously, but that's
to this day.
Like,
I mean, it's still crazy what's going on with all that stuff. You know, hasn't stopped. Like 5 years later, it's still being contended.
Yeah, one of these days, I want to do it. I'd like to see a proper documentary on that day because it was a wild one. It was a wild one for sure. It's interesting. You know, we talk about when Kevin went out for me, and you know, it's like I said, I've known Kevin since high school. But this show really did strengthen our relationship, Kevin. You know, I think that it took it to a different level. And, you know, Kevin is someone who, you know, has always been there for me. And he's the only person from high school who I still talk to every day. You know, Kevin's going to be in my life.
That hasn't lost forever. Their mind yet.
But he's just, you know, even when he's not, he's one of the kindest people I've ever encountered. So, like, Kevin, I'm really glad that, you know, we've gotten to talk, you know, so regularly every day about wrestling for the past 5 years and become even closer of friends. Like, you and Eli, you know, and Jamie, you two, obviously. But, you know, when I started the site, when I said I was going to start the site, you know, Eli and Kevin were two of the people I kind of, like, threw the idea at because, you know, they were friends of mine and they, you know, they were just friends of mine. And Eli was obviously, Eli was one of the first people that reached out to me when I left TMZ though. And just, you know, like he was there for me and gave me advice and helped me feel better about the situation. And, you know, same thing when I started the site, you know, when I was going to start the site, you know, he just said, let me know what I can do to help. And so did Kevin. And I remember both of them were like, hey, if you're going to do a podcast, like we're down, you know, like separately because they didn't know each other.
I think just like, and this is not rocket science, but just like, you know, you growing up with the internet still kind of in its infancy, you don't have a lot of people to talk wrestling with because a lot of people, wrestling just wasn't a commonly talked about thing. You had to know a wrestling fan to talk about wrestling. So to get to a point where you're an adult and B, you have a bunch of friends like wrestling and C, you don't give a shit what anybody thinks about you anymore. You kind of, and then you kind of think about like, well, now you can supply that to put that out in the ether. It's like, you know, talking with your friends about wrestling is something that's a cool thing, in my POV at least. And so it was just like the second that it kind of came up, it was just like, why not? Let's try it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I can personally say, if I'm going to take a little personal note right now, that this show has been really, really special to me for a couple of reasons. Well, first off, the period of time after I left WWE, like that whole, for about a year and a half, 2 years, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing with my life. I'd also just recently broken up with my girlfriend at the time. So, and I just moved back to LA. So you guys gave me something to do in the meantime, which was a blessing. Trust me on that one, because I was losing my mind at that point. And also, I don't think that I would have had the courage to jump back into it and chase it the way I've been doing recently, if not for this show, because I don't think it would have been, I mean, of course, you guys encouraged me all the way, of course. But through this show, the education I got, you mention this all the time, and it's because it's true. The education level for me, just from starting to where we are now, is night and day. It's not even the same person.
It's insane. It's insane. Totally different. It's crazy. Like I had that in my notes of like favorite things that like have happened because of the show. And like, honestly, like just seeing you go from like WWE diehard when we met you to like, honestly, you watch more indie wrestling. You watch way more indie wrestling than all of us now. Like it's crazy.
And you have
like a diverse, roster of things you're watching, different countries, different states. Like I'm amazed. Like I remember when you first started branching out to Lucha Underground and you were like,
that was the first one I really, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember you were like, this is pretty cool. Like, we were talking about it, and you were like, well, let me check this out. This is pretty cool. And then, like, it just, like, went up from there. And, like, to see you not only, you know, watching all of it, but to be actively engaged in it, and even so engaged in it that, like, you're reinvigorated to try and get back in it, like, in the ring for real, not just as a manager. Like, dude, like, I'm so proud of you. Like, it's, like, I'm so happy for you. Like, it makes me so happy to see that you're going for it, because it's like, it's something that you wanted. And we were talking about it the other day where, you know, this week in our group chat where we were talking about Andy Williams from Every Time I Die, the butcher.
Yeah.
And like how, you know, like 5 years ago, he was just like, you know what? I want to wrestle. Like, I want to do it. And he just started doing it, even though he was already successful and had no reason to go chase this other career. And look where he is.
And I knew
now,
he was from that. Yeah, and I knew he was from that band, but I didn't know that he started that long ago. I mean, that's that recent. I mean, it's not that long. 5 years.
No.
Yeah. Not that, how old is Andy?
He's older. Kevin, you probably know.
Lately, the 30s. Like, yeah. Later 30s, I think maybe 40. But he's, like, I mean, also, like, the fact that, like, he was, like, training while this band was, like, had been heavily, heavily touring. Like, at that point, they were just, like, constantly touring. Like, they were never not touring. So it was just, like,
what a cool story.
Insane for him to, like, get to that point. It's
wild. That just lit another fire under me. Because, as exactly. You guys know, like, one of the biggest things that I always get on myself was I wish I started this sooner. And when I see a guy like Andy, you know, who's able to do this shit on a really great level, then gives me hope.
It's funny, when I was looking at that picture of him that I tweeted the other day or yesterday of him in his first match, I was thinking to myself, like, it's crazy that I thought Andy was jacked then. You know, like, oh, he's a big dude then. Now. And I was just like, oh, my God, he's so big. Like, he's grown so much in the 5 years since then.
And I love that his profile picture is always going to be that created wrestler of him from Fire Pro, because it's the only Fire Pro character that looks exactly like the person. Like, it looks just like him. I would never change it. It's, like, identical.
You know, and I, you know, I talked about, you know, what Eli and Kevin have done for the site and for me and stuff.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But, I didn't mean to make this about.
No. But I was going to transition here a little bit. And I just want to say, you know, it's not just, those two have done a lot for the site. Like, you, Jamie, you have done so much to help me grow the site. Like, you know, I, you know, what you've done for me and the site and the show, like, I could never thank you enough for it. Like, you know, a lot of people, you know, don't know this, you know, but like I said, I was recording. I didn't have a fourth microphone, and it was Jamie who was like, hey, I can help you. I have a fourth microphone. Like, I have a whole tech guy who can help us. And I was like, oh, great. Like, let's do it, you know? And then we got to record like an actual podcast, like real podcasters do. And I didn't have to like stay up till 2 a.m. editing things from different channels to make it sound like all the other shows who actually had equipment and a little bit of a budget, you know?
It was, I would say, like, the show was good before Jamie came on, but the difference was that when Jamie joined the show, for a variety of reasons, the show became legitimized, I feel like. It moved, and I think it helped having four people, because then you could have the alternation of people, but I think it also helped the conversation, because, again, like, we all brought kind of a different perspective to the show, but with all four of us, I feel like we were able to kind of cover a lot of various like areas, you know, and that even just what you're saying about Jamie, like collecting like this new wrestling knowledge. So you had somebody who is on the show who was being like, you know, continually was referencing something new that they had watched that maybe you and Kevin had seen, but it's just like, I think it helped. It provided a different kind of voice. And I think that voice, you know, it spoke to somebody else in our audience or somebody who maybe wasn't in our audience before that too. And on another level, you know, of legitimizing it, I don't think I would have felt as positive or confident about the show's progression until we kind of got out of your house, Ryan, and started like recording it like Meltdown and some of these places where I was like, oh, I'm honored actually to record in a good studio like this and everything. And we absolutely wouldn't have had those opportunities unless Jamie had joined us on this journey.
Well, I think, you know, absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you with everything you said there. And, you know, and furthermore, you know, I think that, you know, I think that when I started the show, I remember I wanted a fourth person because I felt like you were key to the show because you knew so much more about things than not wrestling, but like wrestling history than me. Like, you had the wrestling history down of things I didn't know. I just didn't remember. Like, you have such a good memory with that kind of stuff, and you really helped keep us in check in that sense. And, you know, I remember I wanted Kevin on the show because Kevin was a longtime friend of mine, and I knew that, you know, Kevin calls me bitchy, and I remember, like, I always knew that Kevin would
he's in my phone as bitchy, yeah.
that Kevin would keep me in line to a certain degree. Like, if I was being fake or saying something that maybe I didn't actually feel, that Kevin would give me a look or say something to me and, like, put me in check. And I remember I just felt like there was, like, one piece missing, and, like, I didn't know what it was. Like, I didn't know what it was. And when Jamie came in, it was like, oh, someone who actually worked at WWE, who has, you know, who we like, who we gel well with and can talk with, who has the same sensibility as us, who seems like a friend, you know? And I remember, like, that was it. I was like, Jamie's cooler than all of us. And
I was doing WWE Exit podcasts way before it was cool.
Yeah.
I was doing that shit way before it was cool. Everybody's biting me.
But, you know, even growth beyond that, you know, Jamie, you know, it was Jamie who, you know, also had the contacts at Dash Radio, you know, and got our foot in the door there, which helped us step up again and record the show on, you know, a professional level with other actual radio hosts around us, you know, and that was a trip. I remember going in there and just being like, whoa, like, this is wild. Like,
I remember going to, I met you and Erica at the Dash studio on like Saturday or something like that. And I remember sitting down in there at first and you know, like the Dash studio was in, it, like, you know, for better or worse, it was in the middle of Hollywood. It was one of those things where I was just like, oh, this is crazy that we're going to be recording here. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
It was also, we were like the bastard children of that station too. Like, we're
yeah.
like, no one gave
bastard
a shit.
Children about of who, everywhere we
like,
went.
Who we were. Yeah. Yeah. And it was like, also, it was like funny.
Yeah, I agree. And I think two things. One, I would not have worked nearly as hard on getting you guys, on getting us anywhere if it wasn't so damn fun. I mean, like I said, I think this show is a saving grace, not just for me, but I think, I don't want to speak for you guys, but I think this show can be really cathartic for,
big time.
For a lot of us. We all go through things, especially in the past year. This past year has been quite a big change, not just for the country, but for us in general. We're all going through a lot of changes. And I know that we could always come back here and talk about something that's not serious, that's not going to make or break the world, like whatever we're talking. Like, could you imagine doing a podcast about politics or sports or something like that? That just sounds horrible. That sounds like I can't imagine, like the fact that we can just, what made our show so special was anybody could get online or in front of a microphone and complain. You could do that. It's not hard. You can find something wrong with anything that you like. But I think don't get me wrong, we would, if something was stupid, we would have been like,
sure, yeah.
Oh my God, like, come on. Like, it wasn't, but it was
we had our gripes, of course, yeah.
It was never to the point like, oh, we're gonna stop watching WWE or they should be ashamed of themselves.
We've canceled our subscription.
No, we were never that. We were always like, they could do better. You know, they're capable of more. And I think that's the case. I think that's the stance we took on everything, because there's a lot of, I don't know where this whole mentality came from in wrestling, that we all, for some reason, have to fight with each other online or about opinions in general, when we already are fighting the world and showing them that we should be taken seriously and that we should, you know, this should be a uniting thing. And I think that we gave that mentality up. Personally,
I think we had enough opinions on the show though too, where we were able to keep sight of the fact that it's like, hey, this is just wrestling. Like, this is like, yeah. This is not politics. You're right. Like, this is, it's not so heavy a subject matter that you need to get visibly angry or hateful towards it. And I think at a certain point we could see that, but it was also kind of fun to like poke at that person too, where we just like, I'm hating my opinion about what's going on right now. It's just like, no, you know, like you can have that opinion, but we're going to poke at you on the show because that's what you deserve.
I mean, I always wanted to go for fun angry. Like, you know, I, the news.
You had a couple moments where you like lost your cool. You definitely had those moments where you like lost your shit. And I completely understand. There are valid reasons.
But it was like every once in a while, you know, it wasn't like one of those like
great
while. Every show.
Once in
know?
A great while. Yeah. Once in a great while.
You know, but that was always
that one
my intention.
Kid that wanted,
you know?
Like wear your face.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that was always my intention.
Which I don't understand. Never... If you had to pick anybody's face to wear, I don't know why you would pick
that face.
you know, I have to deal with so much news is such a negative thing as it is all day long that I really did want our show to not be too serious, to not be too angry, and like just be a place for us to have fun. I do all the editing, the screen grab, you know, the thumbnails, the majority of the work for the show. And, you know, it was just for fun, you know, like the show itself was just for fun. Like it's not like got like a lot of traffic or we made tons of money off of it.
I love how a dash every single after he'd done it.
I made $0.
Oh, no! Did it record? It was always this worry after every show of just like, did we get the files up there? I gotta wait to talk to the guy.
Wait, we were getting paid for this?
I was barely getting paid for all these things. I mean, I am barely.
Brian had to eat and pay rent.
Thank you for helping me pay rent the past few years, gentlemen. But no, I mean, really, like, you know, it wasn't like this was some super successful thing. You know, it had a good, you know, had a good fan base, a good amount of downloads and stuff.
It's crazy. It's honestly crazy. Like we're just talking in the group text, like it's crazy. Like that people were like saying such nice things about the show. Like, it's like you said, like sometimes, like I remember like when we first started and you like come out with us like numbers, we're like, wait, what? For 500 people are listening to us? What up?
There's a part in The Simpsons that I always go back to, and it applies to a lot of things I do, which, you know, cartoons. But there's the Malibu Stacy episode where Lisa designs her own version of Malibu Stacy, right?
Lisa Lionheart.
Yeah.
And at the end of the episode, everybody freaks out because Malibu Stacy has a new hat. But then Kent Brockman's daughter at the very end is the only one that buys the Lisa Lionheart figure. And she's like, you know, if we could just make that one girl happy, that's how I feel about this show.
That's how I feel about the show, too. And honestly, sure, that's exactly why I felt so happy seeing so many of the comments the past, like, 24 hours of me saying that this was going to be our last show. I felt the exact same way. Like, you know, the only reason I did this show, the goals of this show and the website to me were always different. The website I had very different goals for, but this show, you know, I really do enjoy entertaining people. You know, before working in news, I worked in TV my whole life with my dad and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I love to entertain people. Like, I really do love to entertain people. And so my goal was always to make people feel like they were just the fifth person sitting in a group of friends who were talking exactly about wrestling. And the fact that there were people that said that to me and wrote that to us the past couple days, it made me so happy because, like, that's all I really wanted. That's all, like, you know, when I started Pro Wrestling Sheet, I didn't listen to any wrestling podcasts because every time I'd put one on, they were so mad. And, you know, Jamie, you mentioned that everyone was always so angry on podcasts. Everyone was so angry. And I was like, I really just want to, like every time I try a new one out, I'd ever be like, this one's popular, that one's popular. And I put it on, and they were just so mad. They were just so mad about the thing that they watch every week. And it didn't make any sense to me because, like, why are you watching every week if you're so mad about it this consistently? Like, you have to find some joy in this. Like, there has to be something. And I really, like, I'm so glad that this is what we got to do for 5 years and that we got to, like, really put that positive energy out. And when it was negative energy, it was at least done in a fun way where we weren't putting people down. We weren't doing anything like that. We were trying to make fun of the situation. And so I am really glad that, like, we got to give people, like, a nice outlet.
You know, like in some ways too, I'll say, like, although I enjoyed doing the show every Thursday or whatever day we were doing it just over the course of the 5 years and everything, I think if I look back on, like, my memories of it, though, my memories are always going to go to the other things that we did together as a group, you know, from various times that we watched pay-per-views at Jamie's dad's and when we went to Disneyland together and all these other things. There were so many. I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, I appreciate the show for what it was, but the biggest part of the show for me is the fact that I made really, really good friends on it. And,
oh, absolutely.
People,
yeah.
That's here. Close with. And I think that, I think people enjoyed hearing us talk, the people who did, at least, you know, because we are friends, and you can't fake that. You can't, that's there's a sense of authenticity attached to that tone of voice when friends are talking. And I'm grateful that the show gave me, you know, like, I remember the first time Ryan, you know, had me come over to watch his show. I think it was before I went to China in 2015. And Kevin was over there. It was the first time we met Kevin. And I was so intimidated because I just didn't know. I just, you don't know these people. And then
that's a funny sentence, being intimidated.
5 years from there, I'm just like, holy crap. I can't believe, like, that moment led even to, like, right now, too. You know, here we are in the midst of, like, the craziest situation any of us have lived through in some time. But we're still getting together to talk.
I'm going to say something.
What are you going to say?
I was going to say that also. Looking at the four of us, you never would think that we're like shy people, but like we're fucking shy people. Like meeting like Jamie and Eli was very hard for me. Just like, and now I'm like, oh, we're all really great, wonderful friends.
It's Let nice. Us not forget.
I was just going to say.
I didn't know if Jamie liked me or not, so I didn't know if I liked Jamie or not.
You're getting ahead of the story, brother. We were at a Lucha Underground taping in the same building, in the same room. You saw me during the intermission.
And they were fucking co-hosts on the show. Like, Kevin acted like he didn't... And he didn't say anything to him. Like, it was crazy. Like, he was like, oh, I saw – he texted me, like, oh, I saw Jamie at the show. And I was like, oh, did you go say hi? He's like, oh, I know. I – not even Lucha Underground, Jamie. Do you also not remember when Kevin went to fucking Meltdown? Where you fucking worked and didn't say anything to you while there?
That's very true.
Jamie also spied on me from the window from Meltdown. That was different, too. Jamie sent a picture of me from the window upstairs.
Just walking around.
I'll never forget that.
I'll never also go up. I don't know. I'm the most awkward person that's ever existed sometimes. And the idea of like going to somebody's work and be like, hi, I know the owner here. This is the man that runs this place here.
They're like, are you here to complain? What are you asking?
Right.
You know, I'm also, you know, dude, like, it makes me so happy to hear you guys say the friendship factor of things, too, because, like, you know, to be honest with you, like, when I moved to LA, when I moved to LA, like, and I was working at TMZ, like, you know, I didn't have, like, a lot of friends that lived in LA. It was just the people that worked at TMZ. And, you know, I remember... It was Eli, like, who was, like, one of the first people that I felt like was someone, like, who was, like, another person like me that worked at TMZ, and I was so happy when he was there, and we got along so well. And he took it so, you know, when he left, you know, we kept in touch and stuff, but it was really, like, it was when I left that he, like, you know, changed everything in my mind and made me feel at ease about things.
Well, I think, you know, like, it's tough to, like, especially when you've given yourself to a job, and then all of a sudden that job is cut away from you. It's tough. It's because it's a big part of you. And I just wanted you to know that I was like, hey, like, you are the best part of that whole situation. They were lucky to have you. They were lucky to have somebody who's dedicated to and hardworking and in pursuit of quality in his work and everything. And that they, that, you know, like, I am a big believer, obviously, everybody is on this show, but like, hey, the best is always yet to come. You're just getting warmed up right now with whatever you're planning, what your the universe has in store for you in the future. And I can see the writing on the wall with you. It's just like, again, it's like, I say this to a couple friends and only a couple people, but I was just like, you know, I worry about a lot of people, but like with you, Ryan, I was like, I don't worry about you. Like, I knew that you were going to be fine no matter what. I just wanted to like help encourage you. And just like, even when you brought up wrestling sheet, I was like, hey, this could like sink or swim. But I knew if you gave your all to it, that it wouldn't sink.
Yeah. Yeah. And dude, like, you know, after that, like with that, and you know, Jamie and I had talked on social media, and like we met at like a Raw once when he was in the middle of working, like he came to say what's up to me or whatever. But like,
was that when we were up in San Francisco?
It was LA.
That was LA. Oh, yeah, that was the stables when I was with my dad. Yeah, and
that may have been the night after SummerSlam.
Yeah, that sounds right. Okay. Yeah, that sounds right. And mm-hmm. And I remember like, but. You know, once we started doing this and, like, talking every week and, like, you know, like, doing this, I felt the same way. Like, you know, I don't really have, like, friends like I have with you guys. You know, like, you guys are definitely, like, my best friends. Like, there's no question about it. Like, you guys have been there for me for everything. Like, you've been there for me with this, which was, like, you know, something I was just trying to make happen, you know, and you guys have always been there for me, like, and I can't thank you, like, enough, really. You know, I especially friendship-wise, like, I mean, that was, like, the main reason for so long I've been so scared of ending the show, even when, like, you know, I wanted to at times because of just things going on in my personal life. It was just, like, but then I wouldn't get to talk, like, with my best friends every week, you know, and so that is the hardest part about this, but luckily now I won't force you guys to hold your opinions in the group chat for when we record. So now we can actually give our opinions on Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW, whatever in the group chat, and it's okay. Like, I won't be like, save it for the show, save it for the show.
It's so funny. When the show first started, I feel like I would, like, write notes before I went in, but then we had done, like,
You did. You would take notes.
I laughed at that because in the first episode, I was listening to it, and you made some kind of joke about a tawdry, blood-soaked something with Impact regarding Impact.
Tawdry, blood-soaked action or something like
that. Yeah, tawdry, blood-soaked action. And I said, like, I know you have that in your notes, but where'd that come from? And I was like, Eli had notes. I forgot that Eli
had notes. Well, the thing was, like, I wasn't polished on doing podcasts, but, like, you do, like, 20 or 30 of them, and then you're just kind of like, nah, I can wing it. I don't even need to know what the show is about. You're like,
yeah,
well, I'll tell you so that you, at least you're a little prepared. I'm like, dot, 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 dot.
I was during those first shows, like, I saw you guys, of course, Ryan had his notes, but then Eli had his notes, and I was like, should I have notes? And
I, like, tried, like, making notes. And, like, notes?
I would, like, jot down some one liner, so I'm like, oh,
yeah. Like, a few little things there.
That's how I knew.
I'm not taking notes.
Yeah, Jamie never gave a fuck. Jamie just came in, like, with, like, a tracksuit, like, all right, what are we talking about today, boys?
You know? My ponchos. Yeah,
ponchos. I remember the Dash Radio days. Jamie sometimes would show up after taking, like, an edible. And I remember, like too big of one.
He would just
have his look on his face. Gone. Yeah, like, gone. And I just remember we'd be like, all right, we got to do the show without Jamie today, you know? Like, in our
head. I loved it, though, because whenever that would happen, Jamie would always come in with, like, a bag of Sour Patch Kids, too. And so, like, trying not to chew too loudly, just sucking on it. Just be like, oh, I don't want anybody to know.
By the way, all our listeners, if you were ever complaining about us chewing on camera, Dash on Radio. Mic, is because I was hungry. Because I was
hungry.
I'm pretty sure they already got that.
There's a gas station right next door. So we were able to get snacks.
And you're not going to get Sour Patch when you see it?
I remember Jamie would stroll into Dash Radio on those days. And, like, he'd just be ponchoed out, like, with Sour Patch.
On.
And just, like, get in the corner so comfy. And just, like, I'm like, oh, no. And then he would come out sometimes with some wild statements. And just, like, either, like, some wild statement or just, like, he would ask us to repeat a whole conversation we had just had. Yeah. And I'd just be like, we literally just said that. Like, where were you?
But it,
like,
didn't matter then. It matters now.
I didn't complain.
It's who I am now.
He had Sour Patch Kids. That's all that matters.
Nobody complained. None of you guys did. You guys held it to the chest very well.
You know, really, that combo of where Dash Radio was, I mean, I think it was my favorite of the locations. I liked them all for different reasons. But I did like it because it was, like, gas station, and then there was a dispensary.
Yeah, so I'm set up for failure here.
And then there was the studio.
Like, a gas station, one of those AM/PM gas stations with a fully stocked snack section. Mm-hmm. Like Slurpees and a dispensary. You're gonna tell me not to get those things?
They had, like, European chocolates too. Crazy.
They did. That was a good AM/PM. That was.
It's
good
not even AM/PM. I think it's like a. I don't know what it is. Like,
I think it was.
No, it wasn't AM/PM.
It was an on the run Chevron.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
It was an on the run. I'm almost.
I know my AM/PMs, sir.
Sorry. I'm sorry. My apologies. You know, other things that, like, Jamie did, you know, like, Jamie ultimately brought us to Collider as well, you know. I don't, like, always go into all the details of it, you know, but, like, Jamie knew the guy who ran Collider, and they were interested in bringing us onto their podcast network. And we were already kind of, like, maybe thinking of leaving Dash just because we weren't really fitting with the music vibe and being, like, the only fully talk show that was on there. And, you know, he was like, oh, you know, this guy wants to, like, maybe, like, bring us onto their podcast network. and he set up a meeting, and I somehow talked them into buying the website. So, like, you know, Jamie really was, like, instrumental in helping me grow the website and the show. So, like, Jamie, I just, you know, I know I've said thanks a bunch, but, like, you really have, like, been helpful, like, in major ways in all of this. So, thank you.
Well, like I said, it was I wouldn't have done it if I didn't care. And you know that.
I know you would.
All these places that we recorded, all I know is that every damn time it was, Kevin, why are you late? What's taking Kevin so long?
You were always
I drove a lot, okay?
You did drive far. Like, we all live out here in L.A.
Definitely drove the farthest.
Kevin definitely drove the furthest. And yeah,
I would say, like, you coming some from of those the, early you days. Where, valley.
Yeah, well, I'm from the Valley, too, but you were definitely coming further away.
When we recorded at your house, I drove like 2.5 hours for a podcast.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah. You trust me. I had. Yeah. I always was lean. I was cool about it.
You're like, oh, Kevin's. Yeah, I know. I know.
And I also like. I mean, I cherish those early live streams that we would do, like from Jamie's house and stuff too, and like just the stuff that we've done together, like the parties at Jamie's, and just like. Yes, the just like you said, like Disneyland, even though it turned into a bad day for me, like, and just, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but just in general, like, all the stuff I've done with you guys, like, I'm really thankful for it. Like, I'm really happy that you guys were in my lives for all this.
I was sad after a breakup. Jamie was like, hey, let's take you to the Laker game and be on the floor. And I was like, okay.
And for your Clippers, too.
Jamie,
it never happened, Jamie.
Jamie took me courtside once. And
yeah,
I'll never. I remember we went to like that like place where there's like the buffet. There's the bar.
The chairman's lounge.
Chairman's lounge, where it's like literally like right off the court. Like you walk off the court, and it's like right there, and it's like a bar, and it's like a buffet.
Got sushi going.
And I remember when I walked in, I said to Jamie, like, oh, can you bring that food back on the court? Because at Dodger games, when you're in like the whatever it's called, like the chairman's lounge, similarly, but not as fancy.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
When you're like behind home plate or whatever, in those nice lounges or whatever, they have like the food that you can just bring out and sit with and eat or whatever. So I said to Jamie, and he was half paying attention to me, and I said, can we bring this food to the court? And he was like, oh yeah, totally. I was like, sick. So like I went and I got like all this like roast beef and like all like I like filled my plate up, I remember, just like pile it up while Jamie was getting alcohol at the bar. And then I was like, all right, we good? And he was like, yeah, we're good. And like we walked towards the door, and the guy at the front door was like, oh, you can't take all that out there. And Jamie looks at me, he's like, yeah, you can't take that out there. And
I was I don't remember that.
Yeah, and I was like, I asked if we could take this out there. And you were like, oh, I don't remember that, sorry. And so then I remember, like, I felt bad, so I had to sit at the table, and I just fucking, like, scarfed it down as fast as possible so we could get back out to courtside.
That must be a Clippers thing, because I don't know about that being a thing in Laker games.
It was...
I took you to a Clippers game.
Was it a Clippers game?
Because it was WWE night. Remember?
Oh, you're right. It was a clip. Who has? It was whatever family member has like their name on the court. That's where it was. Is that Clippers?
Yeah. Well, it was my cousin.
Your cousin.
Because they were his seats. Because my dad has those seats for Lakers, and my cousin has those exact seats for Clippers.
So it was a Clipper game. Wait, is that why you said yes? Because during Laker games, you can do that?
It is different. They do have different protocols. They like the chairs are set up differently. There's a lot. It could be. I have no idea. But I've never had that issue of taking things from that. You could take drinks from there. I don't know why you can't take food from there.
Oh, I learned you cannot take food from.
Well, there we but then there was the waitress that came to the seats.
Yeah, I know that's why it was so confusing, because they bring you food still, but you can't bring your food there, which makes no fucking sense whatsoever. It was very frustrating.
Calm down, man. Calm down.
Sorry,
man.
Sorry.
You know, I really
those Ryan, times.
Why did I really put you in check? It was so embarrassing. My favorite Staples Center memory is like when we all went to Raw. And we were sitting like three rows back, and I have some pictures of it, and I can't remember what you said to Goldberg, but you bungled.
Oh, because I was lit.
He was all drunk. What did he say?
I was about three fireball shots in, and I wanted to say Dadberg fears Kevin Owens, or Kevin Owens fears Dadberg, one of the two. I don't remember which one.
But what'd you end up saying, though? Do you remember?
It's a very long sentence.
I think Kevin knows what I said.
I don't know, but I know that it was a very long sentence, and everyone around was like, excuse me?
Yeah, and then he tried, because he also fixed it, because he corrected himself while doing it. So he was like, kind of like what he just did right now, where he fixed himself while doing it, but louder and drunker while doing it. And everyone's kind of like,
Kevin Owen, Dadberg Fuse. I mean, Kevin Owen Fuse, Dadberg.
I don't think you guys realize this, but Kevin Owens, like he looked, he was like,
yeah, wait. He did.
Like, excuse me?
Yeah. It was like crickets after you said it. It was like everybody just heard that.
The entire arena was like
lit.
And that was like the first time that was like one of the, I shouldn't, not the first, but it was like the third time I'd ever sat that close. And I remember,
and it was my birthday.
And it was your birthday, and we were all like hyped or whatever. And then I also remember when we went to Raw, was it the same time or a different time when the seats next to you were open, like, the whole show. I remember, like, from beginning to, like, middle of the show, no one sat there. And you were like, Ryan, no one is going to sit here. Like, you and whoever you're with can just come sit next to me and my brother. And I was like, I don't know, man. You were like, Ryan, it's who's going to come this late in the show? Who on earth would miss more than half the show? And I was like, yeah, you're right.
It was
right.
Literally, like, two matches left.
Yeah, it was, like, the end of the show, and I was like, you're right. Like, good point. I'll come up. And I, like, it was only, like, a few rows ahead, if I recall correctly. But, like, Jamie was, like, in the front row. And I was like, all right, fine. And, like, I sit there, and with someone – I forget who I was with, but I sit there – it might have been Erica, but I sit there, and then, like, minutes later, I get, like, a tap on my shoulder, and it's Derek Fisher. And he's just like, excuse me, these are my seats with me and my sons. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Like, my bad. And, like, I had to get out of the seats and go back.
Dead fucking
and it
Fisher.
Was so embarrassing.
Matt Barnes would have told him to do something. Yeah. You don't understand that, Ryan.
Do you still? No, I do understand that, actually. Because it's non-basketball talk for the most part.
That's true.
I can't believe. Now that you're not at work, Kevin, like, in an office – when's the last time you've actually eaten a banana sideways?
It's been recently. I think it was because somebody brought it up, though.
Yeah, it's his party trick now. He does it at parties.
Somebody brought it up, and I was like, well, I got to reprise
well,
this,
I have
I guess.
To do it.
Yeah.
What, is Superman not going to fly?
Wait, is he not going to put his cape down there?
There it is. There it is. Oh, my God.
There was another show memory. Like, when we all went to NXT at the Palladium, I think it was, in Hollywood. And it was the first time that somebody came up to us that I'd been there where he was wearing a wrestling sheet shirt. And we, like, took a picture.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember him being like, hey, can I take a picture? Picture with you? I was like, dude, I want to take a picture with you. What are you talking about? You're wearing our show shirt.
That's great, dude. Yeah, no, anyone that bought a shirt, anyone that said something to us in public, like, it was always the fucking coolest thing every single time. Anytime anyone said they read the site, I loved it, man. Like, I can't even tell you how much I loved it. You know, I wrote down some of my favorite show memories here, just a couple that like came to mind.
When we used Kevin to talk about poop all the time,
we did have a lot of poop jokes early on. And Kevin eating a sideways banana was first on the list. When I tweeted today, though, and just in general, when I was people were tweeting us the past day, some of their favorite memories. Someone responded, and I agree. Eli saying ooh like a 90s kid opening a gift on Christmas, still to this day the thought of it makes me laugh so hard.
I like when Eli did the kaboom thing, just like
when I was watching that clip. I've been looking at clips of the show. I've been just reminiscing the past day, and I too, when I saw that one, I was like, what was your initial impressions of Dynamite? And it was like, and then it was Eli just going.
You're like, what is that? He was like Dynamite, like kaboom.
Like kaboom.
Same with when Eli farted when we were recording, dude. I like, I watched it and I still was laughing just as hard as I was because we were in such a small room and like, and just, it was so loud. And
it wasn't a smelly fart. Like I will definitely say, like I wouldn't have gone that far if I thought that it was going to corrupt the scent of the room. So.
Oh my God.
I also wrote,
Is this that sounds like a very hindsight statement. Like you don't know.
Yeah, I was thinking that when he was saying that, like how you can just know if it's gonna smell or not.
There's of course you do. Like if you've already farted a good amount and gone to the bathroom a certain amount during the day, you're not gonna have smelly farts. You've already got it all out of you.
You didn't think it was gonna be loud either, and it was. You miscalculated the whole situation. How can your calculations on whether it's gonna smell or not be accurate?
I know my body, my friend. I know my
body. You didn't know your body then, though.
True, but in the smell sense, I did. I promise you. You know, just on the level of laughing at stuff, I all the time, whenever I need like a really good laugh, there was this moment on the show, and I posted on Instagram, so it's easy for me to find in my account. But like Jamie impersonated Jake the Snake doing his like, "But you told me I was good." And it was so on Jake the Snake, but just something you didn't expect to hear. And when I go back and I watch myself laughing, it makes me laugh now because I laugh so hard. I laugh so hard. It sounds like I'm having a heart attack.
Because it's not Jake Roberts, like, trust me, or whatever. It's recovering alcoholic Jake Roberts.
I learned from this show what a Clams Casino was.
I was thinking the same.
The Clams Casino was like, I was like, oh, thank you, Eli, for enlightening me for what a Clams Casino is.
Yeah, I can go for a Clams Casino right now.
I'm down. Let's go. Let's order them. Grubhub it all around.
I had one beer. Yeah. I had one beer.
At a Clams Casino.
I don't even want to go no more. I don't even want to go no more.
It's a good thing he's doing good now.
Hey, Jake the Snake outlived the show. That's crazy.
That is crazy, actually. Good Jake the Snake will outlive us all, of course. Snake, dude.
He's like Mick Jagger. Yeah. Or Keith Richards, appropriately.
Same moves, yeah.
I also wrote here, Jamie's love for corn dogs always makes me laugh. Jamie was just...
Yeah, but that's like corn dogs.
No, it's not new, but Jamie's advocacy for corn dogs throughout the show's history was always
entertaining. We never got that sponsorship, and it's bullshit.
No, we should have gotten that corn dog sponsorship.
They're shutting down franchises all around here, so I can't imagine they're throwing...
I didn't even think about that. Is hot dog just getting shut down everywhere, hot dog on a stick?
The only one that's around, the closest to me that's even possible is the one on the pier.
Yeah, by Santa Monica Pier.
That's the only one. The one at Westside Pavilion's gone. The one at the mall on 3rd Street in Santa Monica is gone.
Are malls even open out here right now?
No, I don't think so.
They're not, right?
I know you could shop. I know stores are. I don't know if malls are. I don't know.
There's like an outdoor mall.
Can't be. Maybe outdoor mall, yeah.
Yeah,
The Grove is open.
There's one out here in San Diego that's like half a mile from me. I might go to get a corn dog. There you go.
Are you in San Diego right now?
I'm in San Diego, yeah.
What are you doing in San Diego?
So, visiting Dad here for the week.
Nice.
With your little blonde hair.
Yeah.
You're going for the two-tone thing.
Yeah, it's gonna be all bleached after this. This one, I didn't really care for the way this turned out, but it's fine.
You didn't have your sister do it?
Oh, she did. I just told her to do it this way, and then I was like, I made the wrong executive decision. It's fine.
Yeah. I got your sister coming out on Saturday to come fix me up finally because my hair
is pretty long now.
It's wild. I was seeing if I could get it back to as long as it used to be, but I shouldn't. So I'm having.
I think right now you have that Dave Grohl from 3 years ago kind of length going on there. You're fine.
Sounds right. It sounds right. I also when I tweeted about favorite moments. I like that most people's favorite moments from the show were all just different things that Eli ranted about. Kelly. Kelly Kelly, Billy Graham and Red Face. Oh, yeah.
Well, the thing with like the Kelly Kelly brand, remember when Eli had that come to Jesus moment where he was like, oh, I'm gonna apologize about it. She's not bad. Like,
you know, like, she showed up that live for show, and I just say, you know, something changed in there.
You could even well, I'm glad because she was really concerned.
Yeah, she was really upset.
Yeah, no, he says this. Eli's fronting though, dude, because he says this, but then never during. Wasn't she in the Royal Rumble, and all he did was talk shit the whole time?
That was after before I had that coming to Jesus moment too. Coming to Jesus moment was when she won the 24/7 title for a hot second.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Like, Jesus, I like the way she looks in those shorts.
By the way, that was a big for some reason. For some reason, that moment was like a big thing for her. People reacted to her winning that 24/7 belt better than any other person who's not R-Truth. Am I wrong? Yeah.
No, totally. They loved it. Yeah. People loved it.
Yeah.
Like the only time people ever celebrated Kelly Kelly winning a title. Like, more.
The whole time. If that was like the last time that she was like, she rode off into the sunset.
Yeah.
Like,
for sure. I mean, come on.
You know who else outlived this show?
Mike Kanellis won at the OBGYN.
Because Billy Graham outlived this show, too.
That's too bad.
Jerry Lawler.
Here's the thing.
You want to have a come to Jesus moment on Billy Graham at the end?
Jesus wants nothing to do with this.
No, I still don't. I mean, I don't appreciate it because I don't trust that he's not coming from it in a way that's – every time he just responds so emotionally – about what is the way he feels about something. It's always just to suit his own purpose of whatever it is that he cares about. Dude will change his mind instantaneously to like whatever is suiting his purpose at that moment in time. And I just don't care for people like that.
I get it.
I was hoping to get a little crazier, but I was satisfied with that.
He talks shit about Kofi Kingston winning, so he's out of my good graces after that.
He's a crazy old man. Just like a crazy old steroid abuser. Like, what do you want from him? Like it's one of those things where it's just like he is who he is because of what he did to himself, and now he blames everybody else for the errors that he made. Come on.
Do you want to have a come to Jesus moment on Red Face Sting?
No. Hey, I'll tell you what. And this is gonna make me sound like a son of a bitch. But somebody, I can't recall who it was, sent me Red Face Sting.
Yeah. And Cheddar T.
Yeah.
Away.
Cheddar, you threw it away?
I didn't throw it away. I gave it to Goodwill.
Didn't even keep
wow.
it?
Wow.
You were, when was, wow. wait, was this, wait,
wait. Was this your move at least?
Yeah, wait, was this, what, wait, was this during your move? Or was this when you were like removing the clutter from your home and you were trying to like declutter your life?
I know. His girl was like, we're not keeping this thing. I
didn't want it. I don't like Red Face Sting, okay? That's not changing.
You could have given it to me. I would have taken it.
Did I give it to you?
No. No. I like that you have had to. It's funny because Cheddar T, when I announced that the show was coming to the end, he brought it up.
Even. Like, one of the greatest things I've ever done.
Yeah, like he was pumped that he was like friends with all of us. And then he like, wait, I'm going to actually, because it was – Nat, you're going to feel like such a fucking dick right now because you literally said, I'm going to read you exactly what Cheddar T said. Yeah, you're going to feel like such an asshole for throwing that away.
I didn't like Red Face Sting, okay?
He said, sad to see Cheddar T, T-Jamily. T-Jamily, that's what you remember. That's what you used to always call him still. T-Jamily. He said, sad to see this go, but happy it was a part of my life. From sending Eli the best version of the Sting figure to the Halloween drawing I sent in, I always felt like part of the show. It takes a special environment and interaction to produce that feeling, and you guys mastered it. And then he said, yeah. He said, I know my participation abruptly fell off. Things happen, but I never stopped listening and enjoying you guys and the show. Looking forward to this episode and continuing to see wrestling grow.
Well, you know, I can't change happened, but I appreciate it nonetheless. And truthfully, Cheddar T, thank you so much. I know that we may not agree on like the veracity and like the genuine good nature of Red Face Sting or whatever about him, but
made a face.
But it meant a lot to me when it happened. I'm a person who doesn't keep a lot of clutter. I know it probably doesn't look like it from the background, but I did go through a period of my life where I did just get rid of so many things and everything like
that. Yeah, that is true. I remember that.
Your house is so messy with the one thing on the wall over there. And the yeah, you're living in a dump, dude. What are you doing?
Waller. Like,
that's all collectible stuff right
oh
there.
My God. Oh, my God. With the one wrestling figure.
You know, I live with a girl. I can't have that much crap. But I do really appreciate. So thank you for doing that. It meant a lot to me, actually. And, you know, and everybody that we got to interact with on the show, it meant a lot to, like, have that opportunity to get to know people and bond over cool like that. Did I cover it up enough? Is that good?
Yeah.
You I'm holding back because you're saying you how it meant a lot to you after you threw it away. Like, it couldn't have meant that much
away.
To you.
Hey, you know what?
Are you at least looking behind you on this back pedal?
This is what, now that I think back on it, it actually is a really good and kind-hearted move of me to take the good one. Because you know what? There's probably a kid who got it who was like, who's Red-Faced Sting? And maybe him and his dad had a bonding moment over pro wrestling. And maybe he went on to become a great scientist or something like that. So
no, it was some dork who like he has a terrible relationship with his father. And his father always liked Surfer Sting better. And he always loved Red-Faced Sting. And that's why they're not friends anymore.
Yeah. All right. Well... Look, I got 8 minutes left on this Zoom, so I should probably get to the end of things. To answer your question in the beginning, Eli, about editor-in-chief, you know, I really this is a weird situation for me because, like, I've never poured my entire life into something like I have Pro Wrestling Sheet the past 5 years. You know, I didn't know what I was going to do after I left TMZ, and ultimately this became the thing I wanted to do, and I've poured my everything into this, you know, from starting it just before anyone even knew and writing it for 3 months just to see if it was something that I thought I could do before I even launched it, to actually launching it, to, you know, the years that followed doing the show with you guys, working at home. Trying my best to bring people the website that I would have liked to have had. Like, that was really all I wanted to do, was give people a website that I would have liked to have gone to if I wasn't running it. You know, that was ultimately my goal from day one. But you know, after selling the site and just, you know, the past 2 years of just pushing and pushing and pushing, I really felt like I had hit a ceiling with what I could do with the site. I felt like I just felt like there wasn't anything else I could do with it in its current incarnation. Personally, like, I didn't think I was going to be able to take it to the next level with what I had to offer. And so, you know, my contract expired a couple months ago. You know, I sold the site to Collider 2 years ago. When I sold the site to Collider 2 years ago, I became editor in chief then, strictly. You know, I was only an employee at that point. And, you know, when my contract expired a couple months ago and just different circumstances in my life changed personally, I just decided I needed a change professionally as well. And so I am going to be stepping away from Pro Wrestling Sheet. I believe the site will continue. I believe that someone will be replacing me. Whoever that person is, I'll be helping them find it. I've already, recommended a couple people to them. I have someone in mind who I would like. And so I will be sticking around in that regard to, you know, help with the transition of whoever's replacing me, and making sure that, you know, I'm always available to them if they need any help or consulting or anything like that. But ultimately, at the end of the day, like, I've grown a lot in these 5 years. You know, we've kind of talked about it here. It's crazy to hear how we've all grown over these past 5 years. And, like, I'm one of them. You know, I started this site because I didn't know what I was going to do. And I the thing I knew most was that I wanted to connect with wrestling fans all around the world. And I wanted to give them fact-checked, trustworthy news. And I really hope that you guys enjoyed everything that I've done with the site. I do, from what I've told, they want to continue with the integrity of the site that I have built. They want to continue to grow it without me. And, you know, because I'm going to be going doing other things. And so, you know, they are cool about it. They, you know, they were understanding of my situation. And so I will be moving on from Pro Wrestling Sheet. But don't be too sad about the situation. It's all good. I really want to thank every single one of you. Anyone for anyone who clicked on the website, anyone who's listened to the podcast, anyone who is listening to this podcast, anyone who has been there as a source, anyone who has commented even negatively, like the fact that you have kept my site, you know, as something that people are as part of the conversation, like it's helped my life tremendously. Like it's changed me as a person. It's helped me grow into a better person. It's helped me grow into a better reporter. It's helped me grow in every aspect of my career. These three right here have been a massive, massive, massive part of that. My girlfriend has been a massive part of that as well. The fact that she didn't leave me this whole entire time is crazy. You know, since I was just so focused on this site, I can't thank her enough for what she has done for me this whole entire time. James McKenna was also a huge part of the site for a while. Everything that he did for the site helped us grow in a huge, 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 huge way. He was a massive part of the website, and I can't even thank him enough for everything that he did to help the site grow as well. Same for Collider. Like Collider took a chance on me, took a chance on Pro Wrestling Sheet, brought us aboard, helped me the past 2 years a lot in growing my career and helping me get to a place that I want to be, and a place where I can, you know, be happy with everything that I do. So thank you so much to Mark Fernandez, Christian Harloff, who's no longer there, but was also a big part of bringing me aboard. John Rocha, who day one when I started it at Collider was like, hey, how can I help? Let's do a show. Let's do Raw SmackDown recaps. Like he has truly, you know, been a part of everything. So, you know, he was a huge help when I was there. So thank you to Collider. Really thank you to you three though. Like everything that you've done for the site, everything that you've done for the show, I'm forever in your guys' debt, really. Yeah, that's before I start.
Thank you for letting us join, Ryan.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Love you very much. Love you guys. Okay, that's it. I'm done. We're done. Officially tapping out.
Wait.
Stay out of the dirt.
We're good. What?
Where can we find Jamie online?
Oh yeah, we're not doing that. People should know at this point.
Yeah, if you've listened this deep, I'm sure you know where to find all of us. But okay. That's it. We're done. Officially tapping out. Stay out of the dirt and keep your eye. Well, you're going to have to stay tuned for that part.
ProWrestlingSheet.com.
Napa Know How.
Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping and over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $35 or more. Quality parts delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
It's that little Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, better said Mr. Worldwide, and I'm here to tell you about my new podcast, From Negative to Positive, brought to you by my friends over at State Farm. I believe that to have success, you got to play the game so that the game doesn't play you. You know, the biggest risk you take is not taking one. It's very important that you make sure that you make the most out of your money, especially when it comes to insurance. State Farm offers surprisingly great rates. They have great agents standing by helping you personalize your coverage. All this is backed up by award-winning, easy-to-use technology. It's a great price with an even greater service. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.